So far, Bhagwan has, in the 18th chapter, told us about the different kinds of sattvic, rajasic and tamasic nature of, like the actor, the person who is working, action, knowledge, dhriti, sukha. So all of those he has classified into a sattvic person, rajasic person, tamasic person. Sattvic karma, rajasic karma, tamasic karma, sattvic knowledge, rajasic knowledge, tamasic knowledge, sattvic happiness, rajasic happiness, tamasic happiness. So all those we studied over the past few months, because he has classified every activity. So anytime I am doing any activity, I can always look within myself and say, is this what I am doing, a sattvic activity or a rajasic or a tamasic, or am I in a sattvic mood, rajasic mood or tamasic mood? And the idea is, as much as possible, to be in sattva. Even when I am working, I can have a sattvic attitude. To work, you need some rajas, you need, you know, activity, but it can be done with a sattvic motive. And that should be the purpose of studying this, that I should change my life according to the Bhagavad Gita, as to what the Gita is reminding us of. And then Bhagavan talks about the four individuals, Brahmanas, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, which, as we have talked about before, is not based on birth, but is based on your qualities. Guna Karma Vibhaga Yoho. Shri Krishna says that it's based on your qualities and based on your activities. And these castes are there all over the world. There are people who are researchers and scholars, Brahmanas, the politicians and leaders who are Kshatriyas, business people who are politicians, and then there are workers. And people should do activities according to their tendencies, according to their training, according to their knowledge, according to their inclination. And that's what Sri Krishna says. If you do activities which are conducive to your activities that are conducive to your nature, those purify your mind and take you higher. But if you try to do activities to which you are not suited for, then that takes you. If you do activities that are not suited to your nature, then that's when the problem comes. Like Arjuna was a warrior, and as yet his mind was full of passion and anger towards, you know, the Kauravas, how they had been treated. And for him to stop everything and go to the forest and meditate was not a conducive at that time. As later on in life, when the Pandavas became a little older and they had ruled the kingdom for a while, then they did that. They handed the kingdom to Arjuna's son Parikshit, and then went to the forest to meditate. So you have to be another person may be able to meditate at age 7 or 8, like Raman Maharishi. So it's not a factor of age, it's a factor of your mental inclination, your state of mind. And then Sri Krishna tells him, ultimately the highest is Naishkarmya Siddhi, that is called actionlessness. So what do we mean by actionlessness? Does not mean doing nothing. People think actionlessness means just sit and do nothing. What Krishna defines actionlessness as, working without ego, without I and mine. So in the path of bhakti, in the path of love, the student says, God is working through me, he is everything, I am just an instrument. In the path of knowledge, the student says, I am that actionless self, and in my presence the BMI is working. So either way, the ego is not there. It says whatever is happening is due to the inclinations and the vasanas, and I am uninvolved, unaffected. So either way, the ego is not there, and that is called Naishkarmya Siddhi. Actually, all of us are that one consciousness, as Vimalji just taught us, but we mistakenly think ourselves to be this individual BMI, and that's when the problem arises. That's why I think I am the doer. If I am the doer, then I become the enjoyer. If I become the enjoyer, then I also become the sufferer. Because all joy is on one side, and the other side of the coin is sorrow. No joy is complete it has sorrow on the other side. If you have something will make you happy, guaranteed in a short while, it will make you unhappy. That is the law of nature. Only thing that is permanent happiness is the Lord, and that is my own nature. And once a person realizes, then he goes beyond joy and sorrows, and we'll be talking about that. So then last week, Pankaj talked about meditation, and I think he introduced the subject of meditation and did verse number 51, and he also did some guided meditation. So in the verse number 51, Krishna talks about meditation. He says, buddhya vishuddhaya yuktaha. So this meditator should have a pure intellect. His mind should be pure, without anger, greed, jealousy, and also without agitation, without disturbance. And dhriti atmanam niyamyacha. And with his intellect, the meditator should control his or her mind. And shabda deen vishayans tyaktva. And no matter what impulses come, sense impulses, through the eyes or ears, if he's sitting for meditation, if he hears something or smells something, he should give up all that and just focus inside, giving up raga and dvesha, likes and dislikes. Because why does my mind run in meditation? Because it runs towards what I like and runs away from what I dislike. So throughout the Gita, Bhagavan talks again and again about giving up likes and dislikes. Be sama, be balanced in all situations. And that is the teaching. So then today we'll do verse number 52. Before we go ahead, I just wanted to talk for 5 minutes about the benefits of meditation. Why should we meditate? You know, there are several benefits. At the body level, regular meditation helps high blood pressure, heart disease, a lot of this psychosomatic physical disorders like migraine, headaches. And it has been documented in studies that regular meditation reduces blood pressure and also causes improvement in the coronaries and heart disease. There is a Dr. Ornish in San Francisco who has done studies on that and has shown that patients with heart disease with diet, exercise and meditation get major benefit. At the mental level, it has been shown that regular meditation helps us to handle stress. Because in our life, there are always stresses, ups and downs, joy and then sorrow and then success and failure, and somebody loves me, somebody insults me, somebody hates me. And life has problems. So a person who meditates regularly becomes more balanced, and mental fluctuations do not bother such an individual. The world may be conducive or inconducive, but I am fine. So that is one of the benefits of meditation. At the intellectual level, it has been shown that regular meditation improves memory, concentration. There are a lot of, these are all scientific studies. I'm not just making it up. You can Google that. And also they have done studies where meditation actually increases telomeres. They've done studies and it shows that the telomeres are these attachments on the chromosomes which prevent aging, and meditation can help us with that. Also, they have done studies where people who are in deep meditation, there is a tremendous increase in the blood supply to the brain. All that has been shown. So at the body level, blood pressure, heart disease, stress, memory, intelligence. At the vasana level, it has been shown that regular meditation is one of the fastest way to destroy our vasanas, our negative tendencies that we have. Meditation is the fastest way to reduce vasanas, and ultimately, and that is ultimately the goal of life, because the Lord is within every one of us as Om, but we are not able to experience the Lord's presence because of our vasanas, our tendencies. Even though the Lord is talking and the Lord is listening, but we don't connect with that. And we always think of God as being somebody far away and somebody I have to reach in time. Maybe in the future I will reach God, and then some God will appear before me and say, you know, what do you want? And then I'll say, I want this, and tathastu. That is not, these are Puranic stories. In reality, the experience of God is to realize oneness with God. And that is the goal of life, that God and I are one. I am not separate. And that is realization. It's there's not any light shining or any, you don't have a, you know, halo around your head, or some people look for blue light and green light and sounds and, you know, gongru and all. None of that. It's all just knowing my oneness. That's all. That is the ultimate goal. There is nothing else to know. So meditation helps to reduce vasanas. And the final benefit of meditation, and the main benefit why we encourage everybody to meditate, is it brings me closer to Om, brings me closer to my own true nature. Because in meditation, we quieten the mind and turn it inwards and then contemplate upon my true nature. So that's why meditation has a lot of benefits. And there is a whole chapter of meditation, the sixth chapter in the Gita, which we are actually doing in our Thursday class, in the meditation class. But here, Bhagwan is just in two verses summarizing the entire sixth chapter. As we have said, the 18th chapter is a summary of the entire Bhagavad Gita. So all the major points are being covered by the Lord in brief. So last week we talked about the pure intellect. Today we will talk about the next adjustment, because we have to make adjustments in our life to meditate. So verse number 52. Vivikta sevi laghvashi yatavakaya manasah dhyana yoga paro nityam vairagyam samupashritah. What are the things we should do before we start meditation or in the process of meditation? Vivikta sevi, that is love of solitude. Laghvashi means eating less. Eat less. Yata means controlled. Watch. Kaya manasa. So control your speech, control your body, and control your mind. And then Sri Krishna says, dhyana yoga paro nityam, and constantly involved in meditation, and vairagyam samupashritaha, and taking refuge in detachment or being detached. So these are the qualities. So let us see one by one. Some of them I have written on the board on this side, verse number 52. So the first one, Sri Krishna says, solitude. Now there is a difference between being alone and being lonely. People think they are the same. You know, if I'm alone, I'm lonely. And that is a myth, because you can be alone and be very happy. And you can be in the company of people and be very unhappy, which is both ways. So a true seeker should start finding joy in his or her own company. That's why they say, if you don't enjoy your own company, don't inflict it on others. So you have to start enjoying yourself. And that is very, very important. And as you meditate and as you advance spiritually, after a while you want to be, you know, it's just silence, you know, just sit and do nothing. Otherwise, in this modern age, you know, constantly working. If I have nothing to do, then do this, do that, call somebody, go here, go. After a while, you get tired of that, you know, traveling and, you know, previously, Friday, Saturday parties. Now, if nobody calls us, we feel so happy. Ah, that's good. You know, it's time to relax and do nothing. And those opportunities in this age are so rare, and you will find that as you start doing that, you will start enjoying the silence. Just sit for a while in the evening. I mean, it's a little cold, but once the weather improves, just sit in the backyard and just sit under the trees and enjoy the silence. Enjoy the chirping of the birds, the breeze blowing, the fragrance of the flowers. And just experience that silence, because nature is the best place. So a meditator spends time in solitude. Why? Because if you want to discover yourself, you want to know who you are, you can only do it in silence. If you want to know others, you have to go out into the world. But if you want to know yourself, you can do it alone or by talking to your wife. She will tell you who you are. She'll tell you all your faults. So, but generally, if you want to discover yourself, you have to do it in solitude. In fact, even creativity, if you look at great artists, great musicians, poets, you cannot compose poetry in the busy marketplace where there is noise and all. You have to sit in silence. Any great piece of science or invention or discovery was done in silence, not in the marketplace, not in noise. In fact, I had read a few years back when the movie Taal was made, you know, Taal, as everybody has seen, was one of the great masterpieces, and its music was so good that music director A.R. Rahman won all the awards that year, Filmfare, every award he won, and the songs were, you know, platinum and millions of copies were sold. But when the music was composed, it was very interesting. Subhash Ghai, who was the producer director, took A.R. Rahman and Anand Bakshi, the music director and the writer, lyricist, and he took them in solitude. He took them to a lonely place in the south, in Tamil Nadu, where there was a house, beautifully well furnished. All the servants and everything were there, but there was nobody else. And he left them there. He said, just stay here and all your needs will be taken care of, food, servants, everything. And they were given rooms, and it was a very quiet place in the mountains with trees and all. And periodically he would visit them. And he gave them that time to compose the music. He said, I want this movie to have some outstanding music. And so they spent several months in solitude. And then, of course, they would periodically meet and talk to each other about this tune or this word. So the point of the matter is that any great creativity can only happen in solitude. And if I want to reach within, I have to develop a taste for solitude. Vivekta Sevi. So enjoy your own company. Then it says laghvashi, eat less. So what do they mean? Krishna means not only eat less, but moderation in food, work and sleep. In the sixth chapter, Sri Krishna says, yuktahara viharasya yukta yoga karmasu yukta swapnava bodhasya yogo bhavati dukkha. So he says, yukta ahar and vihar, in food there should be moderation. Overeating is not good, because if you have eaten too much and you sit for meditation, you will sleep. But also too much of fasting is not good. Some people, you know, every day of the week or 3-4 times a week, I'm fasting for this and I'm fasting for that. Some amount of self-control is good. Okay, once a month you do a fast or something like that. But over torturing the body, where you're depriving the body of food, is the nutrient. Food is the nutrition for the body. The body can only function healthily when it gets the right amount of nutrition. So eating healthy food and eating food in moderation, neither over nor under. And then in work, yukta cheshtasya karmasu, Sri Krishna says, so overwork is not good either. Some people think, you know, work is good, so I work 12 hours, 14 hours, 16 hours. And then they say, hum to karma yogi hain, you know, I'm a karma yogi. What? I work 14 hours a day. That's not karma yogi. That is just overwork. You have to work within moderation. Of course, we need to work. We need to maintain our family and all that. But when work becomes an obsession, that's why they say, no, he's workaholic. So overwork and also not working at all, you know, sitting and doing nothing. You know, I mean, all day just, you know, watching TV or, you know, being lazy. So even if you can always find productive work. You know, even if you have a job, which is good, if you're at home, you can still find productive work. You can find ways to improve your life, improve the life of others, do things productive, which will improve yourself and help others. And same thing with sleep. Sleep is very, very important for meditators. We always recommend that you should get up early in the morning. You know, early morning is the best time, before sunrise or right around sunrise, around 5 or 6 in the morning is a good time, because that time the whole nature is quiet. You know, there's not much activity. People have not started working yet, and the cars are not, horns are not blaring. So, or on the other hand, some people say, I'm not going to sleep at all. You know, I'm a spiritual seeker, and that's bad too. So having the right amount of sleep gives us, makes it healthy. But oversleep is definitely deleterious. So laghvashi, so moderation in food, work, and sleep. Yat vak kaya manasaha. So controlling your speech, controlling your body, and controlling your mind. So speech, when Sri Krishna says speech, what he means is all organs of action. Not only speech, but overdoing anything, you know, over. So the organs of action are the hand, the feet, the speech, the genital organs, and the excretory organs, productive and reproductive and excretory organs. So the activities of all should be controlled. Overworking, over, you know, some people are so fidgety all the time, or just walking, doing, they can't sit in one place. So that, and speech especially for all of us is very important, because we find that if I have nothing else to do, people just pick up the phone and just call somebody, or let's call this person, or let's talk to this person, or for hours they will talk, nothing productive. You ask them, what did you talk? Nothing. Now, of course, speech has been replaced by text, you know, a text or Facebook or Instagram, or, you know, I can't, WhatsApp, you can't keep track of all of them, Twitter. And people spend so much time on these, you know, Facebook, if you look at it, hundreds of people, and everybody's posting pictures. And if you go on looking at everybody's pictures, and then people write comments on it, kitna time people waste on it, I'm really surprised. In fact, that's why people cannot sleep, because this electronic media interferes with your eyes and interferes with your sleep pattern. There was a couple who came to talk to me one time. They used to come to the meditation class, and the wife had serious problems with sleep. She told me that for the past 2 or 3 years, I have not slept. Basically, she would sleep none at all, or maximum half an hour, 1 hour. I said, what do you do? She said, I just stay awake. I can't sleep. And she said, sometime I read, sometime I lie down. And she had serious problems with sleep. And then I told her, I said, look, what are the things you do? First of all, I said, cut down caffeine. And secondly, I said, you know, stop watching TV at night. Because what you do, if before you sleep, if you watch TV, then that images stay in your mind. And I third, I said, no electronic media for 1 hour before you sleep. No iPhone, iPad, nothing. And she, because we all do that till the last moment, till we are sleeping, we are, you know, checking our emails, checking our messages, sending. And so the last thing you do is shut your iPad and sleep. And light is harmful. It stimulates your brain. So read a book. Reading is much better than, you know, people say, oh, I'm going to read on Kindle. To me, that also is the same thing. It's electronic. Buy good books and read, because this is very soothing. Reading a book or listening to some soft music or some bhajans or something that will quieten your mind. And she, after I talked to her, I gave her a few other things, you know, how to relax the body and breathe and all. She came and told me that within 2 weeks that this was the first time she slept a whole night. And she had not slept in years. This is absolutely true story. All of you probably know this couple. But it's because, you know, we overstimulate our mind. And I just told her, I said, for an hour before you sleep, you have to prepare to sleep. Just wind down, you know, don't keep on yourself. So that's what I'm saying. So too much of sleep, too much of talking is not good. Control your speech. This reminds me of a story. Swami Ishwarananji told the story. He said he once went to somebody's house, and this lady had 2-3 kids. And he stayed with them for 2-3, and he hardly even saw them. They never even saw them. So one time he told the wife, the last day, he says, I have not one time seen your kids. Where are they? You have 3 kids? She says, yeah, they're teenagers. Yeah, where are they? She said, they are in their room. So Swamiji said, at least call them, you know, let me at least talk to them once. So she called the name Ramesh and, you know, Sita and Shanti, and nobody came. You know, she kept calling, shouting. So then she said, okay, Swamiji, let me do one thing. So she went to the wall and unplugged the Wi-Fi. Immediately, mom, mom, they all got upset and they all came running down. What happened? What happened? What happened to the one? See, mom said, okay, here Swamiji, now you can meet him. So that's what has happened to us. You know, we don't talk to people. You know, we don't talk one-on-one. I at our lunch table in our surgery center, it's so interesting. There are people, six people sitting around the table having lunch and nobody's talking to anybody else. There is a live person. They're all texting somebody far away, you know. Everybody's on their phone. Nobody's even looking at anybody. It's so funny, you know. That unfortunately, that's what the world has become. Instead of talking to people, we talk to machines. And so that's why Sri Krishna says, control your speech. Then body. Body, when Bhagavan says body, he also means sense organs. So too much of, you know, sensory stimulation, listening too much, hearing too much, gossiping too much, talking too much, or just stimulating the eyes, you know, traveling here and there, doing this, doing that. Give some time for rest for your eyes. Sit and do nothing. Just look at trees. They say green trees are so soothing to the eyes. Or just sit quietly with your eyes closed and do nothing and give rest to your body. And also control your mind, because the mind is like a river in a flow of thoughts, and it's constantly running, and that's very tiring, very fatiguing. If you overstimulate your mind, that's why people at the end of the day, after 8 hours of work, they come home, oh, I'm so exhausted. What did you do? Did you lift some bricks, or did you chop some wood, or did you, you know, do some construction? No, I worked 8 hours on the computer. So the stimulating the mind is more fatiguing than stimulating the body working with the book. So give rest to the mind. And they say the mind is like a river. Just as a river is a flow of water, mind is a flow of thoughts. And Swami Chinmayananda in his commentary talks about it. He says, just as a river is flowing towards the ocean and the water is being wasted. So what do the government do? They put a dam, they stop the flow of water. But if you stop the flow of water and don't do anything with it, it will flood, right? So what do? They stop the flow, put a dam, and then make canals and direct the water where it can be used for irrigation, for fertilizing. That's what this Sacramento River, they have dammed it in the north, and then through the canal they irrigate the entire San Joaquin Valley, is all been getting water from there. So similarly, the mind, when it is quietened or when it is controlled, then if you keep controlling it, it will overflow, it will burst. So what you have to do is quieten the mind and then direct it towards inward. So you control the mind, and then most teachers of meditation will tell you to quieten the mind. You know, they will say breathe like this, or chant this mantra and do this. That is all very good. But then Vedanta is the only school of meditation which tells you that after you have quietened your mind through breathing, through chanting, through repetition, what do you do with the mind? And they say turn the mind's attention inward. So that the mind's energy, which is going outward, is directed inward to discover my true nature. So that is called Yat Vak Kaya Manasaha. Control the flow of the mind. And Dhyana Yoga Paro Nityam. So Krishna says meditate constantly. Is the meditate constantly Nityam? Yes, Nityam. So I cannot sit 24 hours, oh, you can't do that. I have to go to work, I have to go to the bathroom, I have to have my breakfast. How, what do you mean by 24 hours, 365 days? In fact, somebody asked Swami Chinmayananda, how long should I meditate a day? He said, only 24 hours a day. So he said, how can I meditate 24 hours? So when Krishna says meditate constantly, what Bhagavan means is that when I'm sitting for meditation, that 20 or 30 minutes, my mind should be as much as possible on the Lord, on the silence. So at that time, I should not be thinking of other things, you know, my work or my family or my stock market. At that time, my attention should be constantly inward. Even if the mind wanders, bring it back. So that is the meaning of constantly. That's number one. So when I am meditating, I am fully in that silence. But when I am not meditating, then when I am working in the world, part of my attention is on the Lord. I am doing His work. So from time to time, remember, thank you, Lord, for giving me this opportunity to serve your children, you know, to take care of your beings or to help or as a physician or as an engineer or whatever work I'm doing, do it as the Lord's work and try to remember the Lord from time to time and put little reminders. You can put a picture in your car. So before you start, just, you know, ask for the Lord's blessings. When you see the sunrise or the sunset or the moon or the flowers or the birds chirping, make this opportunity to remember the Lord. So that's what they mean by constantly. And vairagyam, detachment, is a word that is often misunderstood. They say detachment means I have to stop loving my wife, my children, my husband, and just, you know, wander the forest like a madman. So that is not vairagyam. That is not detachment. True vairagyam is where I no longer look for happiness in objects or people. Because you and I, we feel that if this person doesn't smile at me, I become unhappy. If that person smiles at me, I become happy. Or this object, if I have, I'm happy. If I don't have, I'm unhappy. And in life, things will never be the same. What you have today, you may not have tomorrow. You have this job, position, power. Today you may not have it. Today this person loves me, tomorrow they may not. So objects and people will always change. So in this changeless world, in this changing world, don't look for permanent happiness. The temporary world will give me temporary happiness. And understand that. And say, okay, if I have it, fine. If I don't have it, I'm still fine. If my husband smiled at me today, I'm fine. If he didn't smile, I'm still fine. So that attitude, when we develop, then that is called detachment, where I am happy within myself, regardless of what the world is saying. If the world is good to me, that's wonderful. If the world is not good, at least God is with me. And then that's all I need. And that's what we find in the life of all these saints, Mirabai and Tukaram and Sant Gyaneshwar and, you know, Narasimha Mehta and Jesus and Saint Francis, all of them, once they had discovered the Lord, then they did not need the world to make them happiness. And the second detachment should be detachment from your emotions. Because emotions, we are always on a roller coaster, up and down. And so one day I'm stressed, and one day I'm happy, one day I'm unhappy. And that's what do people do? They take drugs. You know, they take either illegal drugs or legal drugs. A doctor will write some Valium or some, you know, all of these psychiatric medicines or antidepressants, Ativan and this and that. So, being detached from the emotions, and you can watch the emotions, you know, because always I'm not going to be happy. Okay, today I'm unhappy. I watch it. But today I'm unhappy. Today I'm happy. Today I'm, somebody's praised me. Today I'm some. So the ability to detach from your emotions and not get so caught up, that's what happens. That's why people commit suicide, because they become a slave of their emotions. So meditation helps us to detach. So that is the meaning of vairagyam samupashritaha. So that is verse number 52. Any other comments or questions?
So many guided meditations, you know, it's like sometimes if you're just having, if your mind is a little bit restless, certain ones I'll listen to, some yes. of my bookmarked, and then others, it's like if your body just feels tense, you can get, some of these have most amazing voices,
right.
And you just, and then there's some, you just listen to chants,
mm-hmm.
just over and over. Some of these last for like 8 hours. And
yes.
It's so amazing. I find that I can listen to these, I'll fall asleep, and I'll wake up like 6-7 hours later maybe. I've slept the whole night without even waking up.
Right. No, that's true.
Highly recommend YouTube.
Right. Right. And you can download these, like just chanting of Om, you know, 108 times, things like that. It's very helpful.
Yeah.
Yes, so that's why before you sleep, about half an hour to an hour, you should prepare your mind so that your sleep is restful. Otherwise, our sleep is so disturbed because of all, you know, the dreams and all that. So, yeah, thank you. That's good.
It's a lot better than drugs.
Right, absolutely. Better than taking a sleeping pill, yes.
Yeah.
Because in the modern age, we have used to stimulating our mind, overstimulating, and that's the problem. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramaya, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kaschit Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti, Harihi Om Shri Guru Pyo Namah, Harihi.